Take your hymnal, please. Turn to number 571 as we begin this evening when we all get to heaven. 571, please, in your hymnal. Good singing. Over to 470, please. 470. Far away in the depths, my spirit tonight, wonderful peace. Let's stand, please, as we sing together. Last stanza, please. Thank you, and you may be seated.
God says there is no peace to the wicked, and we are all wicked by nature. And until God brings us peace through Jesus Christ, there's no such thing. What a wonderful peace we do have, the marvelous grace of the Lord. We want to welcome you here this evening, particularly if you're visiting with us. We hope that you'll feel right at home, you'll sense the presence of the Lord and the love of His people, and that the Lord will minister to you as you're with us tonight. We hope that you'll come back to be with us again soon. If you would leave us a record of your visit, we would appreciate it. You'll find in the pew rack in front of you a visitor's card, and if you'll fill that out a little later in the hour, you'll be able to drop that in the offering plate, as we'd like to get to know you better, and hope that you will, of course, return. Our memory verse, new verses for this month of Thanksgiving, Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29. As soon as you get there, what we'll do is say the reference together, and then the verse, or the verses, and then the reference again, Psalm 118, 28 and 29. While you're turning there, let me mention that there will be a meeting for those planning to go to New York City coming up in a few weeks. You'll be meeting in A202 after the service this evening. All right, now together on Psalm 118, 28 and 29. Psalm 118, 28 and 29. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118, 28 and 29.
The ladies are reminded about Women for Missions this Tuesday. Information about that in the bulletin, and I hope you'll be able to attend, ladies and young ladies. Tuesday is also Election Day. I don't know that everybody gets to vote, but everybody in the city has an opportunity to vote for city council in some areas of the county. Also, there are votes, so you need to check our opportunities to vote. You need to check with your local voting place, if you don't already know that, to see if there is someone for whom you should be voting on Tuesday. This is a general election. This is not a primary election. It's one in which both Democrats and Republicans and also independents cast their votes. Wednesday morning at the Bible study, Tara Rodman is going to present her recital, a master's recital. Now, this is not a dramatization. This is a lecture form. It's about this Christian response to the children of divorce. And it's something that all of us could be challenged by and that we could benefit from. So if you have the time on Wednesday morning, men and women, young folks, we encourage you to come. That part of the Bible study will begin at 9:50. Discussion groups meet earlier, but this part will meet at 9:50 here in the auditorium. And I hope that many of you can come to this on Wednesday morning. Every year, our bus ministry tries to have a special Thanksgiving service and a dinner for the folks who come on the buses and for their families, too. And we need a lot of help with this, as we do every year. And there are places to sign up back in the ministry center for the various opportunities for service there. That will be 2 weeks from today in the morning. I hope you go by. Many of you have helped in the past, and I trust that you can help again this year. And maybe some who didn't help in the past will be able to help this year with that special bus outreach. A lot of other announcements in the bulletin today that I trust you'll give attention to. As we look at our financial report for last month, it was very good overall. However, you'll notice in the regular giving, we had nothing to put into capital improvement. If it had not been for designated gifts, we'd have been short on capital improvement. In fact, we were short some on missions this month. And that's not a thing that doesn't happen. It often does. But as we have this goal of reaching $300,000 to continue on our building by the first of the year, I hope you'll pray about that. One of our deacons told me he had given $500, and he'd like to challenge all of the other deacons to do the same tonight. So if you deacons will do that, that will help a great deal in the offering for this week. Now, you don't have to be a deacon to do that either. I mean, they'll say, well, I'd like very much to give $500 or $1,000, but I'm not a deacon. But we'll excuse that and we'll overlook it if you want to give. But we know the Lord's going to provide. And if He will provide this amount, we can go on for a while. I think by the time then that is spent, we'll be able to go on and have some money for the rest of it. But work is going well, and we hope in another week or two perhaps to have an opportunity for you to go through the building and see what's been done thus far, and that should be an encouragement to all of us. But we have our regular budget needs that go on week by week, and I trust you'll be as faithful as you can in your giving to the Lord's work. It's a wonderful opportunity and blessing for us to serve the Lord in this way. This morning, I requested prayer for Bonnie Eberlein. Had to go back into the hospital, and she passed away shortly before noon. She'd been in the hospital 5 months to the day, but the Lord saw fit to take her home today. She had gone to National Healthcare down in Malden for about a week, and then she became ill this morning, and her lungs filled up, and they took her back in, and she went to be with the Lord. So I know she's happy in the Lord's presence, but we do want to pray for her mother. Very difficult for her, even though she wasn't expecting Bonnie to get well. This in itself was kind of a surprise, kind of a shock right at this time. I pray for the other members of the family as they seek to come for the funeral. So we don't have any arrangements as yet, but we'll let you know on the prayer chain, or that information will be available in the office when we do have it. And I hope you will be praying for Mrs. Eberlein and her family. Melissa McDowell will be having wrist surgery on Wednesday. I want to pray for her. And Bill Williams was in the hospital. He's now back home. He didn't have surgery, so I know he still has a physical need, a big physical need with his back. Mildred Ayers is in Barge Hospital. Today has been designated as an International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We spent the morning service talking about that and praying for the persecuted Christians that are suffering around the world for the cause of Christ. We don't want to quit just because the day is over, but continue to keep these people before the Lord. I've not heard any reports recently, but I remember hearing in days gone by missionaries coming back and saying, you know, the people in other Christians in other lands really believe that Americans are praying earnestly for them in their times of difficulty. So I hope we will remember to pray for thousands, millions that are being persecuted in one way or another because they follow Jesus Christ and claim to belong to Him. I want to pray for ourselves as we're gathered here tonight, that God would use this time to challenge our hearts. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place to receive your offering, and Pastor Conley will come and lead us in our prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You that we can come to You as Your children, made joint heirs with Jesus Christ through His sacrifice on the cross for us. We thank You that You loved us when we were unlovely, that You loved us when we were hostile to You, and that You turned our minds and our hearts to You through Jesus Christ. Thank You for demonstrating Your love to us in that tangible way, and thank You for the continuation of that demonstration throughout our lives. We thank You for the way You've worked in our minds and hearts to draw us to Yourself. And we thank You, dear Father, for what You have done in our lives since we've come to know Christ. We thank You, dear Lord, for what lies before us. Thank You for what You've revealed in Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit that guides us and directs us. Lord, may You make us yielded to Him that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Father, we do pray that in the days in which we live and the opportunities that You have afforded us, particularly in these recent months, Lord, that we might be faithful to lift up Your name in the earth, that others might see Christ in us, and that we might have in our own heart burning His compassion for the lost. We pray that You would help us as we seek to rear our families in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and as we seek to work as a church body to display the Spirit of Christ in all the earth. We pray, dear Father, that You might have Your will even this evening in this service. In the lives of each one of us, may You tune our hearts to sing Your praise. May you help us to take the gifts that you've given to us and the privileges you've given to us and turn them to good account. For Lord, we know we shall render an account to you. But may the grace that you've poured out on us flow through us to each other and then to others that you've put us in contact with during the week. We pray you would equip us for that kind of ministry this week. And even tonight, may we minister one to another. Lord, we have many needs, spiritual and physical, financial, emotional. We're just a bundle of needs, Lord, and we recognize that without you, we can do nothing. We pray especially this evening for Manette Eberlein. Lord, we know that Bonnie has struggled long, and yet this is a surprise that she went to be with you today. We rejoice in that you have freed her from the ordeal that she has undergone these months. We thank you that you laid hold of her with an everlasting love and that now she enjoys your presence. But Lord, we do pray for Mrs. Eberlein, that you would grant to her your comfort and encouragement. We pray that we might be faithful as a church body to uphold her. We pray for these others who are recovering from various procedures or recovering from various illnesses. We pray for those that will face tests and surgeries in the coming days, that you would grant to them as the great physician healing. You would guide the doctors and that you would help them to be a light where they are, that this might be an opportunity to advance your gospel. And Lord, we do pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world. We think of Paul's words as he wrote from prison, that these things have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And we do pray, Father, that in their suffering, you might bring them into the fellowship of Christ and that you might further his gospel in a special way. We pray for the conversion of those who see their trouble and even their persecutors, Lord. You've done that many times before, so we pray for them. We pray that you would uphold them, Lord. And Lord, should you bring persecution our way, we pray that you would make us strong for it, that we might honor you in that day. And now, Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings to you, we pray that we might give according to your leading. We pray that like the loaves and fishes, you might multiply these gifts to the advancement of your kingdom, to the expansion of the ministry here. And Lord, we pray that we might be faithful with every penny of it to honor you. For you are our Savior and you are our Lord, and our desire is to honor you with all of our lives. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.
Appreciate the ministry of the choir to us tonight, and Emily Wagner for her beautiful offertory. We'd like for you to take your hymnal, please, and turn to number 476 as we continue. Appreciate your singing also tonight, and join with us again. 476, let's stand, please, as we sing together. Crystal flowing river.
I don't think there's anything in life that can bear that kind of weight to say it's more than life to me. But Jesus Christ will bear that kind of weight. He's worth more than all of life itself and has laid hold of us forever. Appreciate Mike Collins leading the music for us today while Dave Christ is away, and then Bill Eddings helping us with the choir. Appreciate their good work. For those that are listening by way of radio, this service comes to you from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Our pastor, Dave Yerrick, will be opening the Word of God to us before he comes, and at Reich will be bringing us a message in song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now we pray that you would quiet our hearts, that you would speak to us through your Word, that you would have your will in our lives. Lord, we cannot raise our own will and our own efforts to what they need to be without your help, without your filling, without your instruction. So, Lord, we wait on you. and pray that you might do your special work in us this evening. For it's in Christ's name and for his glory we pray. Amen.
Thank Annette for her message and song tonight. Turn to two well-known verses in Romans chapter 12. Most of us know these from memory. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformed mind is a godly mind. The conformed mind is a worldly mind. Conform to this world. Now, our minds will never be totally renewed and transformed until we get to heaven and we get rid of these bodies with their old sinful nature. But from time to time, it's good to check and see just where we are in this transition. I'm talking now to believers in Jesus Christ. Certainly, the unbeliever can only have a mind conformed to this world. But as believers, where are we in this transition from a worldly mind to a godly mind? Are we making progress toward a godly mind? Or are we still pretty much worldly minded? This evening I want us to look at some of the characteristics of worldly mindedness and see if we recognize any of them as indicative of our own mind. I'm displaying a worldly mind, number one, when my thoughts are free to wander, when I'm not thinking about anything in particular or have anything in particular I ought to think about, when my mind or my thoughts are free to wander, they center on the things of the world and not on the things of God. Maybe it's getting awake in the middle of the night. Where does my mind go when I'm awakened out of my sleep? Maybe I put everything else aside and I just sit down, one of those rare moments when there's really nothing I need to be doing, and let my mind go. Where does it go? What direction? Does it go toward the things of this world, or does it go toward the things of God? Number two, I'm displaying a worldly mind when the things of this life are dearer to me than the things of eternity. Now, we are, in one sense, creatures of this world. We were born into this world. We've lived in this world ever since we were born. We're going to live here until we die. And just in fulfilling the necessities of life, we're often taken up with temporal matters. Food, shelter, and clothing, those are all temporal things. But those are things that are necessary for us to sustain our lives in this world in a reasonable way. So there are things of the world that are necessary for us while we're living here. But are these things dearer to me? Are they more precious to me than those eternal things that I have through God and the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I more taken up with these things than I am with the things of God? Number three, I'm displaying a worldly mind when I judge matters by worldly standards instead of God's standards. In other words, I learn of a situation or I'm in a situation and I judge that particular thing not by God's standards that He has given, but I look at it from a worldly standpoint. Now, that's mostly what we find in the editorials in the media today. There are some exceptions to that. But usually an editorial comment is judging a matter based on a worldly view of it and not on a godly, eternal view. And of course, as we are subjected to those things, as we read those things or hear those things on radio or television, we can be inclined to judge matters as editorialists do. We judge them by worldly standards rather than by godly standards. You know, very seldom read an editorial in the paper where the editor has taken the Word of God and says, this is what the Bible says about it, and this is how I arrived at this conclusion or I arrived at this judgment about this situation. Number four, I'm displaying a worldly mind when I have adopted worldly standards in my life. When my life is characterized by those things that we recognize as being of the world or being of the flesh. These might be standards in dress. These might be standards in music. These might be standards in behavior. And my life is made up of these things rather than building them on the standards that God has given us for the things of life given to us in His Word. So when I adopt worldly standards for my life, that is an indication of a mind of the world. I am displaying a worldly mind if I'm more concerned about the well-being of my body than I am about the well-being of my soul. And certainly we see people all around us. Think about the Lord's Day. And we see people that are exercising the body and looking out for the well-being of the body. And seemingly, we don't know for certain, but seemingly, they have little concern for the soul. I was mentioning to the folks in my Sunday school class this morning that on our way over Piney Mountain today, I looked in the mirror, and there was a whole line of motorcycles behind us. And I said, honey, those people saw us start over the mountain. They're going to follow us to Sunday school. But when we got down to the red light at the pantry, and the cars in front of me turn left, and we turn left, all the motorcyclists continued straight ahead up Altamont Drive. Now, what would a person be doing out on a motorcycle on the Lord's Day? Would he be there because he's concerned about the well-being of his soul and trying to feed his soul? Nothing wrong in riding a motorcycle unless that becomes more important than the feeding of the soul. And I suppose they're professing Christians in that group. I don't know. I didn't know any of them. Didn't recognize any of them. But I suppose there were some professing Christians there, and I don't know what their reasoning was. Maybe I can get more from God out riding my motorcycle today, going up over the mountain, seeing all the beautiful leaves and enjoying all the sunshine. And certainly God has made a beautiful world, and it's beautiful even under the curse of sin. But maybe somebody reasoned that way. But most of those people that are out doing that on the Lord's Day, whether it's running a marathon or whether it's exercising in the gym or whether it's riding a bicycle or a motorcycle or whatever it is, they're giving more concern for the body than they are for the soul. And that's an indication of worldly mindedness. I'm displaying a worldly mind when I tend to be critical of those who are truly spiritually minded. We see someone that really has a spiritual mind. Not totally. I say we're not going to have it totally till we see the Lord. But there's somebody that is spiritually minded. And we tend to be critical of them and maybe sometimes think that they're too godly minded. That they ought to let up a little bit. Let a little bit of the world seep in to live a more practical life. And that may be true of a few people, but I don't know anybody like that. But yet we can be critical of those that are godly minded and that are moving in that direction. I'm displaying a worldly mind when I tend to question the wisdom or the ways of God that I do not understand. Now, God has told us that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. And when something happens that we don't understand, we can always say, wonder why God did this. That's really not questioning the wisdom of God. But when I say in my mind and I think to myself, God made a mistake in what He did here. God didn't make any sense in what He did. I think of Bonnie Eberlein. You know, God allowed her to stay in that hospital for nearly 5 months in Greenville Memorial Hospital. Then she went to the National Health Care Center for a week. And then He took her home. First of all, what was the reason God allowed her to be in the hospital for that length of time? Most of the time seemingly at the point of death. Then why did He give her enough strength that she could leave the hospital and go to the National Health Center for a few days? And then turn right around and go back to the hospital and go home to heaven? Now, from human reasoning, we'd say, well, I don't understand why God did that. But there may have been a testimony that Bonnie gave while she was in the hospital. I'm sure she did. She wasn't able to talk most of the time, but I think she had a genuine testimony for the Lord. One of the things that the nurses often remarked in the hospital and even down at the healthcare center for the short time she was there, always remarked about Bonnie's smile. And, you know, what did she have to smile about? Certainly nothing as far as this world is concerned. And the smile she had was the smile that God put on her face because of what she had in her heart. But I say, as we look at this whole matter, and we could recount these over and over again, the way God does things. I say it's one thing to say, I don't understand why God did that, but I know He had a reason for doing it. But it's another thing to say, God had no right to do that. Or God didn't know what He was doing when He was doing that. That's a sign, that's an indication of being worldly minded. Number 8. I'm displaying a worldly mind when I dread the thought of leaving this world. We know we're all going to leave it sooner or later. And when we're younger, maybe the thought of leaving it is more dreaded than when we get older. But most of us still have a desire to be here as long as God will allow us to be here. And as Christians, we should have no dread of going to heaven. We ought to be really anticipating that. We might have a dread for what God uses to get us there, like He did with Bonnie, 5 months in the hospital. We would dread that, I am sure. We dread the route that God uses to take us to heaven. But we should have no dread of heaven if we truly know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And we're walking with Him and our lives are yielded to Him. Because that's going to be joy for us. And I believe, I know Bonnie is rejoicing in the presence of God this evening. I'm displaying a worldly mind, number 9, when I try to solve my problems by human methods rather than by God's methods. There are ways to solve problems by human methods, and sometimes we use human means to solve our problems. If we have a financial need, it's wise for us to go and try to earn some money to meet that need, and that is something anybody in the world would be inclined to do. But there are other times when we rely upon the world and its methods, when God has a better method for us by which to solve our problems and to meet our needs. And if I'm always looking at a worldly way to solve my problems and to work through them, then that's an indication of being worldly minded. Number 10, I'm displaying a worldly mind when my desires are basically selfish. Now, of course, we all know that we are selfish. We're born that way. We stay that way. We never get over it. That's a part of the renewing of the mind, which is a process that goes on for all of our days here in this world. But if my life displays those things that are basically selfish, in other words, if selfishness is one of the main ingredients of my life, and people recognize that I'm basically a selfish person and I'm living for self and I want my own way and I want to do my own thing and I don't care about the will of God and I don't care what God would have me to do, then I am displaying a worldly mind. Number 11, I seek the world's approval rather than God's approval. I want the approval of the world about me. And I recognize that many times we do get approval from the world. We may get it from somebody in the community. Some of our folks here, like Paul Wickensheimer and Bob Taylor, they're in a political office. And they had the approval, not just of Christians, but they had the approval of unsaved people in voting for them to put them into the office. So we could say that is worldly approval, even though they believe they're there because God opened that door of opportunity for them. But if I am seeking the attention of the world and the headlines of the world, as we would say, and I want the ungodly to really approve of my life, and therefore I dare not be too spiritual or they will not approve of it, then I'm being worldly minded. If I have some friends that aren't really sold out to God and I don't want to offend them, and I want them to respect me and to love me and all of that, and even though I know they're not saved, I want that approval from them. That is seeking the approval of the world rather than the approval of God. And so I'm worldly minded. I'm worldly minded when I am bored by spiritual reading, spiritual teaching, spiritual preaching. If I'm bored by the Word of God, then I don't have a mind for the Word of God. If I'm bored by being in Sunday school on Sunday morning, teacher has prepared a lesson for me, a Bible breakfast for me, and I'm bored by being there and I wish I were somewhere else. And maybe I'm a young person, I'm only there because my parents insist that I'm there. But it's not just the young people. There are older people, too, that may come out of a sense of duty and responsibility and testimony. And yet they sit in the Sunday school class or they sit in the preaching service and they're totally bored by spiritual truths that are being given to them. And so when I get no blessing out of reading God's Word or studying God's Word, and I get nothing out of my Sunday school class but a relief when the bell rings to leave, and I get nothing out of church and still we sing that final song and go on our way, then I'm displaying a worldly mind and not a godly mind. I'm displaying a worldly mind when I have no desire to know God better. We're never going to know God as well as we could know Him. Always learn more about Him, learn more of Him. But if I have no desire to know more about God, to know more of the truth of God and the person of God and the will of God than what I know right now, then I'm certainly not displaying a godly mind. If I am a godly-minded person, I'm going to want to know all I can know about God. And I'm going to want to
want to learn about Him and learn about His will and learn about His ways. Learn about the very person of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. I was mentioning again at the Sunday school class this morning of an uncle of mine that was a minister, passed away in his 90s. We never went to see him on as long as he was lucid in his mind that he did not have something new to share with us from the Word of God. He probably studied the Word of God 8 or 10 hours a day after he was retired. And he'd been studying it all these years. But he wasn't satisfied with what he knew. He wanted to know more of it. And if you would have asked him just before he died, when he was still able to communicate, if you would have said, Uncle Norman, do you think you know all there is to know about the Word of God? I know what his answer would have been. I'm just starting. And after all those years of learning the Bible, learning the Word of God, and knowing more about God, he wanted to know more about it. And one reason we're going to have to live forever is because it's going to take that long to learn all there is to know about God. And we ought to begin learning about Him here. I'm also displaying a worldly mind when I'm motivated by my feelings rather than by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. This is a feeling-oriented time, a generation in which we live. And people go up and down on their feelings. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. We're going to all have change in feeling and change in emotion. But there are some people who lose the assurance of their salvation when they're not feeling good. Or they lose the joy of their salvation when they're not feeling well or when problems arise. We ought to have the same assurance of God's presence with us and God's love for us and God's dwelling within us in the Holy Spirit, regardless of how we feel. We all want to feel good, but that's impossible. Somebody said most of the people in the world that are getting anything done don't feel like doing it. If we wait until we feel like doing something, we'll do very little. But if we do it because it's the right thing to do, and we put our feelings aside and say, I'll do this because this is what I need to do. This is my responsibility. This is my opportunity. And I'm going to go ahead and do it even if I don't necessarily feel like doing it. I may not feel like it in my body. I may not feel like it in my emotions. But I'm not going to be guided by that. To be guided by feeling, primarily by feeling, is to be worldly minded. I'm indicating a worldly mind when I'm filled with worldly desires. The Bible identifies some things that are of God and some things are of the world. If my main desire in life is to be entertained, to have a good time, to just enjoy myself, then that's being worldly minded. There is no joy like the joy that the Lord gives, but oftentimes we don't allow the Lord to really give us that joy because, again, we're so taken up with the things of this world, with being entertained. That's why we have many churches today that have become nothing more than entertainment centers, because that's the way they can get people there, if they entertain them. Won't seem to come if they give them the Word of God, if they seek to glorify God. But if they're going to be entertained with nice story and some nice sentiments, then they will come for that. But that's a sign, again, of being worldly minded. I'm worldly minded when I'm in a situation where there is a clear choice between God and the world, and I'm inclined to choose the world, where there is a choice. I can say, yes, this is what God would have me to do, but this is what I want to do. And I have that choice before me, and it's a clear, definite choice. And I'm inclined to choose what I want to do. That is of the world rather than of God. And then the last thing I would mention, I'm displaying a worldly mind when I'm enamored by things. Enamored by things. All the things we have. I was talking to somebody yesterday about my age that had moved a short while ago. And I was saying to him, you know, you moved just a little while ago. You moved into a new house. You got rid of all that clutter that we've been accumulating for 38 years. And he said, yeah, but it doesn't take long to get it all back again. So I guess moving isn't really the secret to it after all. So we all have things, so many things. For many of them, we'd like to get rid of them, but we don't know what to do with them. You have things at your house you'd really like to get rid of, but you say, what am I going to do with that? I had an old TV set that went out. I want to get rid of it. Didn't know what to do with it. What am I going to do with an old TV set? Finally, Ted, my son-in-law, came over and put it in the trunk of the car. That's where it is. But one day when we want to get rid of that car, clean it up, there's going to be that old thing, that old TV set. So I'm not enamored with that. I want to get rid of it. But there are things that we are really in love with, that we're enamored with. And if things occupy us, then that is a sign of the world. What's that bumper sticker that says, he who wins is the one who dies with the most toys? That's not true. Our toys won't do for eternity. Our things won't do for them. Now, this is not all the characteristics of worldly-mindedness. But this should be enough to give us an indication of where we stand as we look at ourselves. Any of these things, do we recognize any of them as being part of our mind? Paul said in Romans 8:5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Are we minding the things of the flesh, the things of the world? Or are we minding the things of God, the things of the Spirit? And it's not only where we are in the battle of the mind. Not only where we are, but it's where we're heading. We're not going to stay where we are. We're not going to maintain our present position. We're moving on. We're moving on in our bodies. We're moving on in our minds. And so we're moving on in this matter of being either godly-minded or worldly-minded. It's good to know where we are, but it's also important to look at ourselves and say, where am I going? Where am I heading? Am I becoming more like the world? Is my mind becoming more worldly? Or is my mind becoming more godly? You've heard the story often about the Indian chief. Somebody asked him to explain to him about the two natures, the spiritual nature that we have in Christ and the sinful nature with which we are born. And he supposedly said, well, something like this. He said, I have two dogs inside of me, and they're continually fighting with one another. He says, there's one dog that is trying to fulfill the desires of the flesh. There's another dog that's trying to fulfill the desires of God, the things of God. And there they are. They're carrying on this continual battle inside of me. And a person talking to him says, well, which one wins? He says, the one I say sick 'em to. The one I encourage. The one I feed. That's the one that wins. And as we look at our minds, godly and worldly mixed up in our minds because we're in the flesh yet and have the sinful nature. It's the mind that we encourage, it's the mind that we feed that's going to really win out. But if we're feeding our mind the things of the world, that's what's going to win out. If we're feeding our mind the things of God, that's what's going to win out. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to lose your salvation. I'm saying as far as this life is concerned, whether you're going to be a godly person or a worldly person is going to depend about the encouragement you give to the things of God or the things of the world in your mind. Our minds are a little bit like a kitchen disposal that you have in your kitchen. What do? You put garbage in there. You stick it down through there and you turn the water on. You turn the switch on, and that garbage is all ground up in little bitty pieces. If you're able to get down there at the drain before it went out into the sewer line and take that garbage out, now it'd be in much smaller pieces, but it'd still be garbage, wouldn't it? Hadn't changed it at all. It's still garbage. Why? Because you put garbage in the disposal. And that's what came out the pipe. That's what came out the drain. Now, suppose you took that garbage and you put it in a nice pie pan. You've already prepared a crust. And you put that garbage in that pie pan, in that crust. And you take the white of an egg and you make some meringue. And you put that in the oven for a while. And you take it out. And it looks so good. But when you cut into it, you still have garbage. And that's the way it is with the mind. If we feed our minds garbage, that's what we're going to get out of them. That's what's going to come out. You can't feed your mind garbage and get anything else out. You can't feed your mind on the world and get godly things out of it. It just won't happen. So we come back again to what Paul said here in Romans chapter 12. First of all, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He's talking to believers. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I forgot about the choir tonight. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds can be transformed if we feed them the right things, if we encourage our minds along the right way. So I ask again, where are we? Where are we tonight in the battle of the mind? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the instruction of it. And you'd have us to enjoy the blessing of transformed minds. Minds that are feeding on godly things. Minds that are growing in godly ways. But Lord, there's so much garbage in this world. And it's so easy to feed that into our minds. Just in the entertainment media today, mostly garbage. In our magazines, secular magazines, mostly garbage. And Lord, we know we can no more get good things out of our minds if we feed them on garbage, then we can get good things out of the garbage that we put down the disposal. Even though we dress it up and try to disguise it, it's still garbage. And it's no good. It stinks. It's vile. That's what's going to come out of our minds. Lord, challenge us tonight with this matter of being godly minded instead of worldly minded. Lord, I have to admit I've been saved for longer than 60 years. And yet there are those worldly things that work their way into my mind. Help each one of us to resolve that we're going to encourage the right things. We're going to put the right things in our mind. We're going to encourage those right things. Lord, if there's anybody here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, help them to know that there's no way their mind can be transformed until their heart is transformed through personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you wait to receive any who would come to you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask the organ to play. Is your all in the altar of sacrifice laid? And no one's looking around, and you're just looking within your own mind right now. God has spoken to you about the condition of your mind. Maybe you're losing the battle of your mind. And you're not moving on to a godly mind. But you're moving, as a Christian, you're moving in the wrong direction. God has really spoken to you about it. Just come and kneel here at this altar and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to go in the right way. I want to have a godly mind. I want to encourage godliness in my mind. I want to move in that direction. You come and tell God that. No one's looking around. It's between you and God. It can be a great victory for you tonight if you'll do it while the instruments play. And we're just looking within ourselves. Do what God would have you to do. heads are still bowed. In a moment, they're going to play another verse, but let's pray before they do. Lord, some of us are losing the battle of the mind right here tonight. We're not ready to give in. We're not ready to say, Lord, here I am. I yield myself to Thee. And I want to have a godly mind. We know we're not going to be perfect in this, because we're not going to be perfect in anything that has to do with us while we're here. But Lord, we can win a battle tonight, and we can go on, and we can win the war. But if we hold back, love our worldly mindedness, love the things that characterize it, then Lord, we're going to lose Your blessing, going to lose Your power, going to lose all that You have for us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be what You want us to be. One more stanza, and then we'll close if no one else comes. Heads are still bowed. I have to believe that in a group this large, there are many who are fighting a battle of the mind. You didn't have the courage to come, or you didn't have the compunction, motivation to come and kneel here at the altar. But would you please indicate, just by an upraised hand, that you are concerned about your mind and you are fighting a battle of the mind. And you're going to be praying about it. Let me pray earnestly that God would give you that holy desire to have a mind that is transformed rather than conformed. And you just slip your hand up and let me know that. All right, yes. Many, many hands. Lord, You've seen these hands. Give them victory, and we know You will as they follow Thee. For Christ's sake, amen.